Well, that said, Director Schuessman, are you lurking somewhere?
I am.
Oh, good. There you are. Hi.
Hi. So a lot to cover, and I'll do my best to get it. But I have my lifeline here with Amy on as well, I see. So I'll start with, normally it's become routine to run through a series of meetings, high-level meetings we've been having. I'm going to abbreviate that a bit, partly to save time, and also the meetings are of a whole new flavor, as this meeting here demonstrates that they've been virtual meetings. It's probably some of the most important meetings we've had, of a lot of meetings with stakeholders and commercial advisors, and those include stakeholders, not just hunting, fishing, but outdoor rec, folks who use our lands, and conservationists as well, as we work on getting reopening the outdoors, as we've coined it. They've been, those, I want to say, have been really gratifying meetings. They've been incredibly constructive, and certainly, as you well know, we've got a lot of concern and complaints about our closures, and I was had a little trepidation going into those meetings. But boy, everybody came to the meeting accepting where we were and providing great ideas on moving forward. A number of the commissioners participated in those. So those were incredibly helpful. And as I said, they are kind of inspiring that folks were accepting where we were, and we're putting our energy into how do we get to a better place. And I'll talk about the better place being more open here in a little bit. We put together a message with our co-agencies on responsibly recreating outdoors. That's been picked up as an op-ed, and I think that's going well. That's the key for us to be able to keep opening things and maintaining openings we already have, is that people recreate responsibly. And I will say, so far, it's gone remarkably well. The fisheries we've opened have been generally orderly. More than generally, they've been orderly, with the obviously occasional outlier. So overall, our openings are going very well in a very positive direction. We're struggling a little bit on our lands, and so we're working on that as folks realize there's no camping, so they don't camp. They just show up for 24 hours instead. So we've got to.
I have empathy because I have been that guy, okay? And it doesn't take you any place good. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
And
Andy.
Hey,
Andy.
There you go. Okay. One meeting I normally wouldn't report on, but we did have a going away meeting for Jim Brown, who retired. I mentioned that just to remind you all that Jim's no longer with us, and that's an incredible loss for us. And also, it was a good way to work in this virtual world. When we first came up with the idea, I believe it was Amy came up with it, that we were going to do a virtual send-off for him. I thought, boy, that's about the goofiest thing I've ever heard. And it was a very, quite pleasant meeting. And I think Jim appreciated it. And it was a great opportunity to give him a good send-off. And we are actively recruiting for his replacement. Other work from the commission, we are continuing meetings on the license buyback work on the Columbia with our consultant. And those are going well. I'll just say that we're having the meetings. Our wolf report was issued, our annual wolf report, talked about a little bit earlier. A few more wolves, one less pack. Overall, things are going fine with wolves as far as status, populations. And then the strategic plan that's already been mentioned as well, I was going to include that draft is out. First, I want to give a huge compliment to staff. It is a new direction for us. It was completed in a time of all the extra COVID challenges, and I personally think it's a spectacular piece of work. With all the warts that Commissioner Baker talked about, there's some editing to be done and some refinement to be done, but I'm super pleased at where we are with that document, and sets a great foundation for us going forward. So moving on more specifically, and I will touch a little bit about that, Anderson, on the budget issue and strategic planning. I should say now, you're right, it is a very much a forward-looking document. I frankly don't think it drives specifically any decision on budgets, but as we make budgetary decisions, especially in a cut environment, we want to make sure those cuts are not inconsistent with the new path we want to go on to the extent we can. So on the COVID response, starting with the internal response, As you know, a while back, we went to mandatory teleworking for our staff, except for those that were deemed essential. Probably too broad a brush, but my broad brush is that's primarily enforcement and hatchery folks. Another kudos to those folks. They stuck with it. They're still out there doing their job. We're learning a lot about COVID. We're learning new operational procedures to manage well. And those folks, we still don't have an operating manual on dealing with this stuff. And we certainly didn't have one at that point. And those folks really, really stepped up and continued their work. Our next step was getting some folks back to work to support hunting and fishing. As you know, we had our openings on May 5th. And we were fortunate enough to have the governor's office give us clearance to get our workers back about a week before that so they could get our lands ready, get ready to go out supporting our fishing and hunting efforts, and learn the new operation procedures for operating in this COVID environment, be trained. Tremendous response by our training staff, internal safety staff, getting operational procedures put together for each of the activities and getting folks trained on it. Our next step is return to work for our field staff. So primarily people who have a low risk effort out in the field. This was something, frankly, I thought would really probably not happen until phase two of the governor's phased approach, but put together a plan. Amy led this effort. Operating procedures, plans, how folks will work out in the environment, why we need them out there. Amy made a pitch to the governor's office last week, and another set of kudos due. Got approval for the governor to get those folks back to work Monday, the 18th. So we will have our field staff doing research and those things that aren't necessarily directly supporting a recreational opportunity back in the field on Monday, which brings with it another whole round of training, operational procedures, personal protective equipment, making sure we have it, it's distributed and people know how to use it, et cetera. So that's all on course for a Monday return to the field for those folks. Our next step will be a limited return to the office soon. I'll give you that date soon, as soon as we can. We don't have a hard date for that yet. And then we'll have the fourth phase is our full return to whatever the new normal is, and our timeline for that is someday so far. But we will get to that. So that's the kind of internal operational COVID issues that have been going on. And again, Amy's been the champion of all that work. Externally, as you know, we opened a lot of recreational opportunity on the 5th, hunting and fishing, spring bear, turkey, and fishing pretty broadly with the exception of the coast and those areas where we didn't have what we needed yet to support either federal requirements or co-management requirements. We've since opened the Columbia River for spring Chinook. That was a good thing to get open. And so right now we're continuing to work on getting things opened up. Our lands, of course, opened on the 5th as well. So things we have left to do is getting at some point to that overnight point for lands. That will be later. We're working on specific openers right now. Well, I should also say we worked very closely with the guides and charter boats to try to make sure that they were included in any steps we move forward or the governor move forward. And just yesterday, the governor gave the guides the go-ahead to get back on a very limited basis during phase one. I think they can have two people in a boat. They have to be from the same household. When we get to phase two, they'll be able to go up to 8 people from 2 households. There's 14 or 15 criteria they have to follow, but the guides are there. Charters made an amended proposal to the governor yesterday, and we're in a support role on that. Both groups have been tremendous to work with, and we want them out there because that's part of our access to the resource, and so we'll continue to support those guys with the governor's office probably as soon as later today on the charter side. Things remaining to open. Probably the next things you'll see opening are halibut in Puget Sound and groundfish on the coast. That includes crab on the coast. I have some dates written down, and I realize that we've had several dates floating around in the last few days, and so right now I'm going to go with we're shooting for both of those towards the end of the month. It won't be long after that, I don't believe, if we miss that, but I think fairly confident we'll get again, Puget Sound halibut, coastal ground fish open by the end of the month. Following that, we'll work on shrimp in Puget Sound. That's probably in June. Intertidal shellfish is also likely in June. And then one that's in between right now is razor clams. Surprisingly, a lot of desire by the local community on the coast to get a razor clam opener going. But they need to get, right now, opening beaches as part of the governor's phase two, so they need to get an exemption from the governor for that to happen. And my understanding is they're proceeding with that. If they get that go ahead, there's a potential for pretty limited, but hopefully a few days of razor clam digging again towards the end of the month. Really, biologically just tough to go past that. So potentially another opportunity there. That leaves salmon and halibut off the coast, and those are in that as soon as we can someday category. Those will be later. I think that's fine. Salmon, absent COVID, would have started, I think, June 20. And so we'll continue to work on salmon and halibut. And then Puget Sound crab, I think, was mentioned either in the public comment and or some of the commissioner discussion. That's a July time frame. That's when we normally start per co-management agreements. So I think that's it. On the hunting side, as I said, we opened spring turkey and bear, extending the bear season. Turkey didn't really make sense to do that biologically or hunting opportunity-wise. We did extend our application period for special permit hunts. It was the 18th. We moved that to the 21st. Partly because of the COVID and partly because our printed manuals, our printed pamphlets weren't ready. We knew they'd be late. They ended up being later than we anticipated. And then you had the challenges of getting those distributed in the COVID environment. And so we bumped the application date back a few days. The key to that being give people more time, but don't bump it so far that it postpones the drawing date. So the drawing dates will still remain the same. So I think I'll move on to budget unless folks want to do questions. We can do questions as we go through or at the end.
Kelly, there are a couple of questions. Which do you prefer,
okay,
now or later?
Well, let's do them now while it's fresh, I would
okay.
say.
Commissioner Graybill.
Thank you for the report. It's going to continue, I know, Kelly. You mentioned that there has been a relaxation that allows guides to begin to operate in the state. In fact, this morning, one of the first things that hit my email was a guide inviting people to join him for a day of fishing. But I haven't seen a news release or any other announcement that states specifically that you can now acquire a guided day for fishing. You know, with the requirements that people need to understand. When do you expect to have that out?
I think that I'm going to look for that to come from the governor's office. We'll probably put something on our website. And this was just decided yesterday. I think it was late yesterday. And there was a proclamation. It's part of the proclamation from the governor on a suite of outdoor recreation opportunities, and guided fishing is one of those. So that's... I frankly have to double check to see where we're at with communications. This is near real-time news as of late last night.
I think it would be terrific to inform our fishing public, at least, that they have the ability now to get back out in the water with a guide. Thank you.
Commissioner McIsaac.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair, and thanks, Director, for that comprehensive report. You mentioned all the different species, but I have two more species to ask about. Let me make a comment on the shrimp thing. There is a lot of interest on that. So that's just an important factor out there. The two that sturgeon and albacore tuna. So on the matter of the sturgeon, it's May 15th now, and usually that window of opportunity for sturgeon fishing is May 15th to June 15th or something like that. And so you also mentioned that on the charter boat thing that there were some proposals of how charter boats could engage as separate from guides. And the sturgeon fishery, the lower Columbia anyway, does have a charter aspect. So I wondered what you see coming for sturgeon. And for albacore tuna, that's usually a July thing, I think, as a start. So maybe that's wrapped up with your salmon that you mentioned later, maybe like July. But could you speak to either of those?
Well, speak to it, I guess, is one description. The tuna don't have any really information. It is later. We're hopeful to be back to business as near usual as we can for that. So that would fit in with the we will announce things for halibut at the same time, probably seasons at the same time, but to get announcements out on salmon, halibut, and tuna. I don't know yet what the operating procedures will be at that time. So some of the things we look at on halibut, we still have a big concern from some of our coastal communities about that's a big-time fishery that brings a lot of people from outside the area. Do we do staggered days to disincentivize the overnight stays, things like that? So there's some details left to be worked on. Sturgeon, I'll be honest, you caught me off guard on that one. I don't see it, my knee-jerk, because I'm not sure why it can't be proceeding as normal. We do have some limitations on launching in Ilwaco, but there's plenty of other opportunities there. So I would have to get back to you on that one. Shrimp, as you mentioned, we know that's a popular one. I'll go into a little detail. I tried to save you all the gory detail on this, but this is a good example. To pull off the shrimp, we need to do a level of effort estimate. Early is done overflights. You can't. We haven't come up with an operating procedure to do those overflights with our staff in a plane. The pilot can't wear a mask. The staff can't be 6 feet away. So we're working on that. We'll get it figured out. But those are the kind of things we're dealing with that have some of these things delayed a little bit. And I owe you an answer on sturgeon, and we'll get that to you momentarily.
You mentioned on razor clams that that's tied to phase two, and you said maybe toward the end of the month. So I know this is a very fluid situation, but if phase two does begin in that time frame, does that affect shrimp or any of these other things?
Well, the razor clams, the way I see that one probably proceeding is an exemption under phase one as opposed to actually phase two. By the time we get to phase two, we'll probably be past the window for effective window for a razor clam. But my understanding, the counties are going to propose to the governor very soon, an exemption. So as you know, the governor in eight counties allowed them to move to phase two early. He's allowing things like the guide effort during phase one. And they're going to make a similar type petition to the governor, is my understanding. And we are definitely going to take a back seat there. We want to make sure the local community is ready for it, the health officers are ready for it, and the governor approves it as an activity. So I think if that occurs, it'll occur under an exemption or a waiver from the phase one.
Thank you.
Commissioner Anderson?
Yes. You briefly mentioned the lands and overnight camping. Can you elaborate a little bit on the opportunity or the relief of camping restrictions on various state lands? How is that discussion going, and what are the kind of time frames that are being looked at?
I think you're looking into the June time frame the soonest. It's certainly going to be a phase two type activity. We are coordinating with our sister agencies that have lands also. Amy, is that you? Do you have more info on that one?
No, that's exactly right. It's a phase two piece. You're right. So, and you know, just to be clear, the governor has phase two. Well, phase one continues at least until June 2nd, is my memory of when things change for the governor, and that would be based on the data the governor has.
Thank you.
Hey, Kelly.
So, Amy, your hand is up. Do you want to go ahead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, Kelly, I texted Kelly Cunningham the sturgeon question. You want me to read what he's got?
I would love that.
Okay. He said they're likely to push the sturgeon in the lower Columbia River into late summer, and they'll need to be part of the USV Oregon Compact.
There you go. That's thanks to technology. Awesome. We have real-time answers. It's incredible. So I see Dave's, Commissioner Graybill, your hand is still up. Do you have another question, or did you just forget to lower it?
No, I don't have another question. I thought I checked, and I will get that corrected. Thank you very much. I would like to ask, though, thank you, is I'm getting a lot of complaints here locally that, you know, we're fishing, but all of the campgrounds, say, up the Icicle Valley just outside of town here are still closed. I've been explaining that it seems like the federal agencies are operating a little bit behind our excellent progress on this. And do you have any indication about when, say, the federal parks, like these campgrounds, might open?
We've had discussions with them. We're trying to stay coordinated, but I have not been in those discussions. Amy, have you? So we've asked them to be coordinated just for, you know, so our isn't confused, but I don't know what their response has been, to be honest.
All right.
No, I don't have anything either.
All right, thanks.
So, Kelly, are you ready to talk to us about budget?
Yeah, I think I'm going to, I'll hit Cougar because that was in the agenda, but it's going to be real quick because I think Commissioner Thorburn covered pretty much everything. I was going to mention in Cougar that the discussion that was held at Wildlife Committee yesterday. The areas where we're looking at improving cougar management under the public safety realm, and that we will be coming back. We were working on it, but yesterday we focused on public safety. We'll also be looking on the game management side of that. So where we have ungulate herds that are distressed, are we in a situation where we need to do alternative or additional predator management? That's really all I had to say, but since it was on the agenda, I thought I would tick it off, but then I will, and thanks to Commissioner Thorburn for doing it for me. Budget. So we got there early on. We had a few memos from OFM that were pretty vague. Prepare for impact is what we call them. We were a little frustrated. Actually, it was kind of a nice time looking back because we got a little more detail, I believe, yesterday, but recently. And the governor is initiating a hiring freeze effective Monday, the 18th. If you've made an offer and the offer's been accepted and the person can start after the 18th, but if you've not had an accepted offer, you're supposed to stop. There are exemptions, but they're incredibly tight, or waiver areas, they're incredibly tight. There are things like, is necessary to reply to COVID, is health and safety matter, is mandated by law. This is intended to be a pretty hard freeze by the governor's office. Also put a freeze on equipment purchases and contracts over $5,000. Same type of criteria. That means all contracts that aren't COVID, personal health and safety, mandated by law, necessary to actually maintain and achieve the agency's mission. So big hit on us. We'll be putting together, you can ask for an exemption on each of these. We'll be doing that through internally. Developing a process to do that. So this is it's disheartening on one hand in that we finally, after many, many years of trying, got a good budget through the legislature and immediately got cuts and freezes implemented. But I'll tell you what, I'll stick on my Pollyanna side. We're starting those cuts and freezes from a healthy place instead of starting from where we were before. And really just have to go even deeper. So for us, the governor's ask is set targets for people to reduce budgets by 15% on state general fund. For us, that's about $12.8 million. So it's a serious amount of effort. We have some accrued savings already, you know, less travel, the things associated with COVID, and we're putting together our plan for how we achieve an appropriate level of cuts and how we distribute that, given that we have this budget more complex than a lot of agencies, where it's not just a straight up general fund and a 15% is an easy calculation. You throw in the federal, the match, the state wildlife account, et cetera. We will manage through it. It's huge, but it's workable, quite frankly. We're going to work hard trying to make sure that we keep people at work. Per Jim, Commissioner Anderson's statement, we will be looking towards where we want to be in the future on that strategic plan as we make cuts. I think we have a lot of good unfortunately, we have some good information coming into this because we've been through this cutting effort for a while, and we have our zero-based budget, et cetera. So you all are well informed on our budget and things we've looked at cuts in the past. I don't have a specific time frame where we get back to you with a report. We have meetings scheduled next week to really start digging into this. And of course, this comes at the same time that normally we'd be putting together our ask package for the 21-23 biennium, because those are due into the governor in the August-September time frame. So I think we'll also be scaling back pretty hard. That's my intent, at least. Have not run that through our executive management team, but we need to scale back pretty hard. We're going to be going into an incredibly tight budget. I know in my previous history at times like this, the legislature said, if you're going to come in with a general fund ask, come in with a general fund cut to offset it. They have not given us that direction yet, but I think that's the kind of environment we're going to be in. So we need to be really respectful and strategic about what we put in front of them for a new ask at the same time we're developing our cut package. Looking at my notes, the equipment purchase and contracts is for issues over $5,000. So that's most of them. It doesn't take much to get to $5,000. Questions on, or Amy want to add, or questions on budget?
This is Jim Anderson. I think one of the areas, not to get too specific, but I guess I am a little bit with regard to the wildlife program and the vacancy in the carnivore section. And I believe that might be caught up in the freeze. And it seems to me that that's a particularly important position on a number of different fronts, from wolf and cougar. And so I guess to me, that might be one area that needs to be looked at pretty carefully in terms of seeking a waiver, and the public nuisance issue is maybe a pretty sound reasoning to support them.
Yeah, we're gonna, this is the time when you realize that every position is pretty important, and we'll have to set our priorities on them. That one is very important. It very clearly does not meet one of the standing, I don't think, exemptions from the governor. It will take a waiver type effort from us. Another one touched on earlier, but with Jim Brown's retirement, definitely like to have someone run in Region 2. So that will be on the list as well, the high priority.
Commissioner Thorburn?
I have a question. Thank you, Kelly. The 15% applies to general fund. Is the wildlife account separate? So we all need to go out and buy as many licenses and discovery passes and everything as we can to help sustain our flexible funding?
Well, you should always do that. I'll start with that. But yes, it's separate. The state wildlife account is a separate account, but we've got challenges there as well. I skipped over that part in the director's report. In the month of April, we were getting hammered pretty bad. We have our closures going on. We were losing $300,000-$500,000 a day on some of these, losing meaning relative to what we sold the same day the previous year. Ended up, I think, about almost $8 million down for April. Have clawed back, I think, about half, maybe now just a little over half of that, because we had another good day yesterday. Don't know how much of that. Probably won't get all of that back. And we had some challenges in wildlife account anyway, with Pittman Robertson and others going down, but those will be up next year. That's the good downside of this whole thing is a lot more ammunition and firearm sales that will fund us better next year. But yeah, long-winded answer to say yes, that's a separate account.
Are there any other questions? So, Kelly, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. Do you have more to let us know about?
I was going to touch on one thing, and this is how we go. This is kind of like back in college and you go, oh, crap, I forgot to study for that part of the test. Talked to Commissioner Kehoe yesterday. He asked me to give you an update a little bit on CARES, and I don't have a lot of detail on it that actually staff sent to me last night, and I didn't. That's the part I forgot. I'll give you at the high level. So this is the federal relief, disaster relief effort, about $300 million, I believe, total, $50 million to Washington State to be distributed amongst fishing. It includes shellfish. We're working on how we go about doing that. We're expecting a guidance letter from NOAA Fisheries on how they calculated apportionments of that and how they're going about distributing it, or expected it to be distributed at least to the states. States like Alaska, I think, are going to take the money into the state, take a couple percent off the top and distribute it. We're looking at developing the criteria through after we see the NOAA guidance letter and using Pacific States Fisheries Council to help distribute that. They're well set up. They're prepared for that. We've worked well with them in the past. So right now, I don't have a lot more detail than that because we're waiting on that letter. There was a separate $5 million set aside for tribal. So we've got to work. But the tribes have started approaching the governor yesterday about wanting in on the $50 million, and so we have to figure out all that as well. I was going to hopefully have a little more detail, but that's what I had at the end of the day yesterday. So, Commissioner Kehoe, if you have specific questions, I will follow up.
Thank you, Director. I don't have any additional questions, but I'm glad you did bring it up. This is going to be a significant undertaking on the part of the department to work out a plan for compensating folks or providing disaster relief for the commercial fishing industry related to COVID-19. One interesting aspect of this disaster relief, and unfortunately I must say I've been part of a few of these, for the $50 million allocated to the state of Washington, my understanding is that is to compensate folks that live in Washington but fish in Alaska. And so I think that's another little bit of wrinkle. And I think in my mind, we'll probably need to require some sort of collaboration with Alaska in terms of, you know, establishing, okay, what sectors, what fisheries were affected by COVID-19, which were not. Hopefully not all will be, but certainly a lot will be. So it's going to be a significant undertaking. And as you mentioned, Director, with a hiring freeze, you're going to be kind of limited to your staff on hand to help administer that with everything else they're doing. So just wanted to point that out to the rest of the commission, and I appreciate you bringing it up.
Thanks, Commissioner. And as you said, that was actually in the notes I do have, that we will see more when we see the guidance letter, but it really is based on where the industry is home ported. So if you're home ported in Seattle but fish in Alaska, you're in the Washington bucket. Which will make it interesting to figure out a distribution.
So anything else from Kelly or for Kelly from the commission? Well, thank you, Kelly. I've been asked to point out that there are some questions from the public for you. However, we don't do that in these meetings. I want to let the public know that this is... And one of the incredible things about the Fish and Wildlife Commission is that we do have these meetings very often. And at those meetings, as our guests are the director and deputy director, they sit right up there at the table with us. I am not aware of any other agency that has that degree of transparency and that has the director speaking to us every meeting. Same time, we don't want to ask him to subject himself to the bazillions of questions that he would get if we opened it up for public. There are ways for you to reach the director and the commission. If you have a question for any of us, please contact our administrative assistant. So thank you very much for helping us through these terrible times.
Thanks, Commissioner Baker. Again, you can go through the commission or an email to director at dfw.wa.gov, and we'll get you an answer.
Thank you very much.